Alright, well, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Southern Parent Congregation. I was out of the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 23, 2016, or it's 8/20, 2020. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, He Hideth My Soul. A wonderful Savior, God's for my King, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the depths of the rock, the rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows that draw thirsty light. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Yahshua my King. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of drought's land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowned, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to Yah, O such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of drought thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I shall be with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows that drop thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Part 8, Mount Zion at the 11th hour of Ethiopia on page 84. And we want to do just a little review from our last study and read a little bit again where we left off from our last study. It says, be not high-minded, but fear. For if Yahweh spared not the natural branches, the unbelieving Jews, take heed lest ye also spare not thee. Now behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Yahweh on them which show severity, but toward thee goodness, is that thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. But Elohim is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert to graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out a sign to deliver, and shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, and I shall take away their sins. So I had left off from my last study that where I read just now, and so all Israel shall be saved. Well, actually I ended with, in part it happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles did come in. That's where I ended my last study. And today, start new, it's saying, so all Israel shall be saved as it is written. It shall come out of Zion the deliverer. So, the deliverer has got to come out of Zion. He's got to come out of Zion. And that deliverer in the flesh is the first sign that you see of a deliverer would be Antip for Elijah. Okay, let's pick back up afresh now. It says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay. So now, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, why do we have to have the fullness of the Gentiles be come in? Because they are brethren, they are Israelites too. You're going to find out that your Gentile brethren are Israelites. I think we're going to find out that they're of the 10 tribes of Israel. And I'm sure we can prove that out. So they have to come and join the 144,000 so that all Israel shall be saved. Once you get the Gentiles, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Okay. So who is as concerning the gospel, who is our enemy? It's these natural branches that had to be broken off because they wouldn't be conformed or converted to the truth, and they were there as stumbling blocks to hinder the Gentiles from coming in. Do you get the picture? When Yahshua told the disciples, go not into the way of the Samaritans, nor the Gentiles, but you go you first to, rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to them, because you've got natural branches broken off that has to be grafted in first. And then the time will come when you'll go and get the second one. The second fruits will be your Samaritans and Gentiles. That's when you go get them. They're scattered all over the world. But first you've got to get those that can be reclaimed first here in Jerusalem. Well, that looks like that maybe what we're going to have to do with the Seventh-day Adventists. Okay? And our former brethren that we've had before. Like the ones I used to be with at Gilead Center. There's still those there that are or they've been broken off, like Daniel Johnson and Rodney Johnson, his son and their families, and a few others, been broken off from the natural stock. But it just may be that we have a window of time here, about a 3.5 year period, for these folks to be grafted back in, if they want to be. If they're true Israelites, then they will automatically come to the light and be grafted back in and see the folly of their ways for having been broken off the first time, in the first place. Okay. So as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Also, who's enemies for our sake? The Gentiles and the Samaritans. They were made enemies by the house of Israel, those Pharisees, as in charge of the temple worship back then at that time. They, by their teachings, that the Gentiles were dogs, they didn't have a soul, so we don't even dare share the gospel with them because it's just a waste of time. And so they made them their enemies mentally and in the eyes of the people. That's what they taught the people. So even the disciples, after Yeshua converted them to the truth, and they converted to Yeshua, he had to teach them through visions and so forth, to Peter and so forth, don't call any man common or unclean. None of them. Don't call no man common or unclean. And that's what the Gentiles, what the disciples were doing back then, including Paul. Paul, he thought those old Christians were common and unclean, let alone the Gentiles. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the faithful, for the Father's sake, for the gifts and calling of the Elohim are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed Elohim, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. So Elohim hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of the Elohim. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of Yahweh? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and unto him are all things, unto whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11. Listen, O owls, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. Yahweh has called me Israel from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made a mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Yahweh, and my work with my Elohim. And now saith the Yahweh that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob his posterity again unto him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh, and my Elohim shall be my strength. We too may say, though the whole world may reject Elohim and his message, yet we will trust in the Yahweh. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. You see this here, restore? That's the calling of this office here, of the office of Antipater David, is to restore the preserved of Israel. Only. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So, in order to save the Gentiles and take them to truth, there's only one people qualified to do that, and that's the one that had the light and the truth on bringing in the first fruits to the first place. And then the Gentiles are the second fruits, and that's the only way they could be harvested, by the truth of that harvested the first fruits. Okay, so it says, that's in Isaiah 49:1-6. In other words, those of Israel who declare the sealing message of 144,000 unto the church shall also declare Elohim's glory among the Gentiles. Thus be his salvation unto the end of the earth, and bring all their brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, Isaiah 6:6-19-20. Thus saith Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, unto whom a man despises, the one whom they call this man, Luke 19:14. See page 71. Unto him whom the nation abhors, unto a servant of rulers, kings shall see, and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Yahshua that is faithful, Yahweh the Father that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of the salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant to other people, to establish the earth, because to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say unto the prisoners, go forth, unto them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger, nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of the water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these that shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. I sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountain. For Yahweh hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, Yahweh hath forsaken me, and my Yahshua hath forgotten me. Isaiah 49:7-14. Sion, as we have herein seen, being the church in which the 144,000 are at the time of the sealing message is heard, that the sealing message is heard, and being as the apple of his eye, for the Yahweh asked her, can a woman forget her second child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continued before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Isaiah 49:15-17. That is, the sinners will be taken out of her, cast away from among the just. Matthew 13:48-49. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Yahshua, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride does. See Zechariah 8:23. The Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 281. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. That is, a great multitude is to join the church, but the sinners shall be kept out of it. This is wonderful news. It says, the children which shall have, those who shall be gathered in, after thou hast lost the other, those who fell in the slaughter of Ezekiel 9, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these sin? I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive and removing to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? This person shows that the church is ignorant of the great multitude of the Revelation 7-9. The second fruits, thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will lift up my hand unto the Gentiles, and set up my standard unto the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahweh, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? For thus saith Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob, Isaiah 49:18-26. But when he seeth his children, the work of my hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the Elohim of Israel. Behold, the name of the Yahweh cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of the indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach unto the midst of the neck, to sift the nation with the sieve of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Isaiah 29:23-30, 27-28. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the force in the tower shall be for dens forever. A joy of towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Well, this sounds like also the same thing is going to happen to our government in Washington, D.C., and the headquarters for different parts of our government. It looks like this is what's going to happen there with them. Same thing is going to happen in the Adventist Church. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remains in the fruitful field. Righteousness is only going to remain in the fruitful field. And the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, brightness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. And it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Isaiah 32:3 and Isaiah 14:20. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding a bribe, stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munition of rocks, bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate a terror. Where is the scribe, secretary? Where is the receiver, the treasurer? Where is he that counted, the statistical secretary? The towers, that's your conference president. Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Thou shalt speak and understand all the languages, Isaiah 33, 13, and 19. It says, strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your Elohim will come with vengeance, even Elohim with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass, with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, although fools shall not err therein. No lions shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Yeshua shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and Zion shall flee away. Isaiah 35:3-10. Inasmuch as both the field with the wheat and tares, Matthew 13:30, and the net with the good and bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48, represent the gospel church during the period in which the saints and the hypocrites are commingled, then the vessels into which the good fish are placed after the bad are cast away from among them, and the barn into which the wheat is placed after the tares are separated from it must necessarily represent the church passing from its unclean state, field or net, into another. It's a purified state which is symbolized, not by the field or by the net, but rather by a barn. And by the vessel, they knew a place, safe and clean, where henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 51. So no matter what the term we may give to this new place into which the saints are together, the palace itself shall be absolutely free from sin, because all sinners among the righteous have then been destroyed. Since after the separation of the unconverted from among Elohim's true people, the church then comprises the 144,000, the first fruit of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, is to emerge into a theocratic government. Inevitably then, the vessel represents the component units, the tribes, into which the redeemed are gathered severally, while the barn represents the composite unit, the kingdom, into which they are gathered collectively. And this great gathering, selective, absolute, and final as it is, only goes to show again that the birth of the kingdom is absolutely dependent upon the purification of the church. I should have sent mine angel to testify unto thee these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright morning star. Revelation 22:16. Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Judges 18:9. Be not slothful. Promptly get ready. Follow the land to the ruler of the land. The lamb to the ruler of the land. Let's read that now. It says, send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. So, the mount of the daughter of Zion is Mount Zion at the 12th hour. This is the house of David. This is where the mount is at. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of the Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert unto them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. See, we have Hillary Rodham Clinton that I'll read it to you here. It says in Proverbs 16:4, it says, Yahweh hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Well, we know that the Clintons are notorious for being extortioners. And so this is a twofold prophecy. Let's read it again. For the extortioner is at an end. Well, we know that Obama is an extortioner. He's the biggest extortioner we've ever had running our governments in the last over 200 years. He's only got 6 months left, just up to January the 20th of 2017, and then. So that's what this prophecy means. For the extortioner is at an end. Whoever the extortioner is, wherever he may be, he's at an end when this time comes for the prophecy to be fulfilled. The spoiler ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit appointed in the truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. And it's amazing that Donald Trump is step by step every day is embracing Judaism and Christianity, and for a reason. So to attach no significance or importance to the verses would lay one under the fearful condemnation of the following of the scriptures. Any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Elohim shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation 22:19. As Isaiah's words are therefore must pertain or contain the light, the absence of which, leaving a dark our path, exposes us to the risk of falling with the blind headlong into the pit. The diligent searcher for the truth will discover that though the passage appears obscured and involved in mystery, it is plain and simple when seen in the light which shines from above. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah to the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. I'm going to try to get some information again on this Selah, S-E-L-A. It says that from the land, from Selah to the wilderness. unto the daughter mount of the daughter of Zion. His first sending from Selah to the wilderness, then unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. Well, we just came from the wilderness back in 2003, where we spent our time, 33 years headquartered out there in the wilderness. And we know that Brother Sonson had this message of the Lamb, because that was his main message in 1970, that he's given the message of the Lamb. So where did the Lamb come from? From Selah. That could be very well from heaven. To the wilderness. Selah is actually a place in Edom, and it means the rock. And we know what the rock is a symbol of. Yahshua is our rock of salvation. So, and since he is, this lamb mentioned here is a symbol of Yahshua, the rock, but sending them from where the foundation was laid for this, and that's from Selah, to the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. The definite article, the, lends absolute meaning to the noun lamb, showing that a lamb. See, and then now Vitihalov goes, he uses that definite article the, then he turns right around before he even finishes the sentence and calls that lamb a lamb. Well, if the lamb designates Yahshua specifically, then you should use that article again, showing that the lamb, Yahshua, is the only one of this kind. Okay. The lamb which represents Yahshua is only one of this kind. That's true. Was the object of the command to send the lamb from Moab to the mount of the daughter of Zion. Mount for the Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Unto the Mount Zion in Jerusalem. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. That is, the lamb had to be taken from Moab because the Moabites were to be cast out as a wandering bird at the fords of Arnon, Isaiah 16:2. Sacred history records that the one lamb taken from Moab before the Moabites were cast out of their nest was the one of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, Yeshua," for the prophecy showed that the lamb was rushed from Moab to the Mount Sinai. David's palace at Jerusalem. An event which took place when Naomi with her sons went to Moab, the wilderness, a nation not under the direct terror of the Yahweh and therefore not a vineyard, and brought Ruth the Moabitess from Moab to Jerusalem. Now, what have we learned here? We have learned that Gilead Center, where I sojourned from 1970 to 2003, was the antithetical land of Moab, because the key word is wilderness here. And Brother Sonson always wondered why he was sent from the hill countries of Judea, where he had his home, his business, and everything, right here in the heart of where the Shepherd Rod headquarters was at, in Waco, Texas. That's where Brother Sonson was living and had his headquarters. And it seemed, though, to him that Yahweh was directing him to go back to the wilderness out in West Texas. For Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and she bare a son. And he called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David, and Jesse beget David, Ruth 4:13-22. So my grandfather then, and according to this here allegory, Jurgen Brunken was his name. He was born in 1864. He died in 1934 at the age of 70 years old. Vitihalov died in 1955 as the head of the Rod at the age of 70. David died at the age of 70 in 970 B.C. Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. Brother Johnson was called to take up his ministry in 1970 A.D. at Gilead Center. And so we have all these sevens all of a sudden, meaning completeness. Let us go ahead now. And they called his name Obed. So my grandfather, then Jurgen Brunton, his name would be entered, or he would be Obed. He is the father of Jesse, which would be my father, Carl Brunton, and the father of David. And I'm the son of Carl Brunton, as antitypical David. And Jesse beget David and Ruth, David, Ruth 4:13-22. Then Yahshua, the son of David, was sent from Moab to Mount Sinai, David's palace, thus showing Yahshua's divinity as the son of Elohim and his humanity as the son not only of David but also of Lot himself. Now, did you see why Yahshua in the parable of Luke 19, where he had to come to the threshold of the house and reckon with his servant there at Gilead Center in 2003, you see why he had to come? He had to fulfill the antitypical part of this prophecy that I just read to you. Because David, the house of David, is what shows the time when the antitypical Messiah is to show up. Because this house of David, it represents the house of Elijah, the antitypical Elijah. And Elijah in the type, I'm talking about John the Baptist, was the Elijah of his day. He announced the presence of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, and he announced his presence after he arrived. So likewise, the antitypical Elijah, David, with that same calling, that same position, has to announce then Yahshua's second appearance when he is to appear a second time. This has to be done. That's the reason for choosing this man, antitypical David, to rule over the house of Israel at Gilead Center in 2003. Okay. Oh, how wonderfully particular is our Elohim. The names Obed, Jesse, and David in the Hebrew tongue means Yahshua, a servant. Obed, who is to be my presence, Jesse, nor Obed, let's see, a servant, Obed was a servant, and who is to be my presence was his son, Jesse, and Jesse, and David the Beloved, came from Jesse. Okay, Yahshua being in the flesh of a Moabite, as well as an Israelite, Elohim said, let mine outcast dwell with thee. Moab, Yahshua, be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. And a man again pointing unto Yahshua shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in the dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 16:4 and 32:2. Sent to take counsel, execute judgment, make his shadow as a night in the midst of the noonday, hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth, Isaiah 16:3. Yahshua, hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, and a weary land, is a great and perfect shadow, even as midnight at noonday. So also exclaims the psalmist, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O Elohim. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 36:7 and 63:7. And therefore exclaimed the gospel prophet, also shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nation shall bow. Shall fear thee, for thou hast been a strength unto the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Isaiah 25:3-4. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in the truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Isaiah 16:5. Since according to this scripture, the establishment of Yahshua's throne is yet future, and since furthermore it is to be set up in the tabernacle of David, so the tabernacle of David is right here in Liberty Hill, Texas now, so the which did not take place at his first coming, Yahshua therefore, when he comes to reign in his second coming, is in his forthcoming kingdom, was set upon the throne of David, and as he then at the judge seek judgment and hasten righteousness, the entire action occurs just before the close of probation, the time in which he can hasten righteousness. So happily, this prophecy of Yahshua's genealogy and of his taking the reins in his own hand was given for the abomination and learning of those who shall be living at the end of time. And all these things shall come to pass supremely, and important, therefore, is the need to remember its all important lessons, and with the faithful act promptly. Seeing that Lot, as well as Abraham, appears in the genealogical record of the Yahshua, the question naturally asserts itself. Why should these two men be so greatly honored? And the answer awaits us. For Abraham obtained this great honor because he was faithful to the word of Elohim and never questioned. Though all things that seemed destined to fulfill themselves contrary unto his interest and unto Elohim's promises. So Elohim promised to give the land to him and unto his posterity for a perpetual possession. Abraham personally never obtained the promise. Besides enduring these faith-trying tests, he waited 25 years for the promised son, only to be commanded when this only child was become a young man to sacrifice him for a burnt offering. Still, through every trial, he never lost his faith in Elohim, but implicitly trusted in him and unreservedly obeyed his commands. For this reason, Elohim signally honored him. Yet the great lesson here to be learned is not so much from Abraham's experience as from Lot's experience. For though Lot was not quite so generous as was Abraham, and not quite so willing to live apart from the world, still his faith in the promises of the Yahweh unto Abraham was as great as was the faith of Abraham himself, yea, in some respects even greater. For Elohim spoke unto Abraham in person, whereas he spoke to Lot through Abraham. Lot therefore had to have implicit confidence that Elohim had spoken unto him through Abraham. He's always telling me that I'll be 80 years old in 2018. And he's telling me that he then told me this when I was 70 years old. He told me that when I reached 75 that I was going to be playing more of a role as well as Abraham, coming out of Ur of the Chaldees at the age of 75, that Abraham did. And by the time I'm 80 years old, I'm going to be established. Abraham was established by the time he was 80 years old. He was established. And also Moses, at the age of 80 years old, was established as the deliverer of Israel. So, I've got some more rules coming, but Yahweh will lay this out clearly as to how it's going to dovetail into what we're already playing. Okay, it says, as in the days of Abraham, Moreover, there was no Bible by which to prove that his going from his father's house was in the fulfillment of the prophecy, and that Elohim was leading him to depart from early childhood to go into a land of whereabouts of which he himself knew not. Hebrews 11:8-9. Now, I have been brought into this land of Liberty Hill, and this is new country for me, because I was familiar with all aspects of Texas, and I had been to Austin area before, but to have a location to designate another kingdom's location for sitting up of the kingdom, the church itself, I never, the Austin area is new to me. Liberty Hill is new to me. In other words, this is uncharted territory. And when I was familiar with Andrews, Texas, where Brother Stud initially the ministry in the 70s for Gilead Center, because his mother-in-law lived there and my mother lived there in Andrews. But then Brother Johnson's home was 47 miles away, going westward. In Kermit, Texas, and that's where he eventually ended up putting his office and going back home, in other words, and establishing headquarters there in Kermit. So every time I went back to West Texas from where I lived in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, instead of going 333 miles to get to Andrews, to the headquarters of Gilead Center, I'd have to go another 47 miles. So instead of 330, I have to travel a total of about 380 miles to get there. So it was just about a 100-mile round trip, an extension to my journey every time I went out to the headquarters. So we see that Lot was not like most men today who question and criticize everything in the unfolding of the truth. Without the slightest questioning or doubting, he put his trust in Abraham's Yahweh and confidently followed in the quest for the promised land. What a contrast between the character of Lot and that of the Jews who rejected prophets, who rejected the prophets, and even put them to death. And for this reason, Elohim honored Lot with the greatest gift heaven could bestow upon a human being, sharing in the earthly parentage of the glory of Yeshua of the glory, the King Eternal. Although furthermore, Lot's descendants, the Moabites and the Ammonites, were no better than the other heathen, yet for Lot's sake, Elohim did not deal with them as he did with the rest of the heathen, but commanded Moses to distress not the Moabites, how to contend with them in the battle. So, Brother Johnson more or less played the role of Lot as opposed to Abraham in this case. If he had any role at all in that respect, it would be the role of Lot, because we were in the antitypical land of the Moabites, out in the wilderness in West Texas. For I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar, unto the children of Lot for a possession. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. Deuteronomy 2:9-19. Okay, so then when Yahweh gives full charge now of Texas, which he's going to do to start with, for the headquarters of this everlasting kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven set up here with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David in the tabernacle of David, it says, then there's going to be some descendants of Lot that we don't trouble with. For Yahweh's going to bring a remnant out of them, and they're going to be the ones that's they're going to be of the natural branches that are broken off, and they're going to be grafted back in to the natural branch right here in Liberty Hill, Texas, to fulfill this allegory and prophecy. And if any man serve me, said Yahshua, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 12:26. Also, he shall call upon me, said the psalmist, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalms 91:15. Aside from the happy deed of showing hospitality unto the angel who visited Sodom, Genesis 19:1, the noblest act in the spotty record of Lot's life is that he joined Abraham in his newly found and strange religion, and that, in order to do so, he departed from both his father's house and his homeland, knowing not whither he was going, besides receiving consequently the everlasting blessing of being one of the earthly progenitors of Yahshua, a blessing which he shall realize through Yahshua at the glad resurrection day and rejoice in throughout eternity. He did not go wanting for a temporal blessing, and while surrounded with earthly danger, heaven sent angels even delivered him from the doomed city of Sodom before it reduced to ashes, Genesis 19:16, 24, and 25. So apparently we're going to have a repeat of this also, destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, wherever they may be, starting here in Texas. This brings a close right there. This is our contest. This is the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song by the Elijah David, a song that he has written entitled, Once Again, Lead Me to the Rock That Is Higher Than I.
Has the power to save.
Lead me to the rock that's higher than the sky. Lead me to the fountain that never runs dry. Lead me in the paths of the river of life. Lead me to the passage in the sky. Don't leave me in the desert, turn and dry. That's wish forever and left to die. Rather, than lead me to the mountain that never runs dry. Lead me to the rock that is hard and dry. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher now. Lead me to the place that the dangers be. Lead me to the mansion in the sky.
Oh, yes, lead me to the mansion in the sky.